This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way.
I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious. Actually, today we did cook something.
We did.
Eat it all, which, well, we ate as much of it as we could.
Yeah.
And you can't have any.
And that part's true. And today's episode is about Korean barbecue, which we are very full of.
We are. You know, usually we tape this show starting around like 9:30 in the morning.
Which
we did. We usually do two episodes. Today we started then. We did an episode on Little Debbie snack cakes.
Which you've already heard.
You may have already heard. In fact, right now I'm eating a Little Debbie Nutty Buddy.
Yeah, no, and if you haven't heard that episode, you should go back and listen to it, or this one won't make any sense. There's a lot of continuity issues. Yeah.
Anyway, and then Matthew and I hopped in my car and drove to the U District and had a little Korean barbecue lunch.
Yes, at Palmy Korean Barbecue on the Ave in Seattle. And we liked it very much.
We did. We did. We are really full. Let's go down memory lane because Matthew, hold on, wait, I'm going to go first. Today was my first time doing Korean barbecue.
I mean, sort of. We've done Japanese style Korean barbecue together.
Matthew and I have now traveled to Tokyo together twice. And on this more recent trip, we went out twice for yakiniku, which is grilled meat.
Yeah, and it's Japanese-style Korean barbecue, and it's not really super different.
It's not super different. What is awesome about it is you're allowed to cook with charcoal indoors there.
Yes.
So, you know, you're sitting at this, like, little charcoal grill-type situation that has a hood directly over it. Still, it is, like, scorching hot.
Yeah.
You leave there with, like, flushed cheeks, and you definitely need a lot of, like, ice-cold beer while you're doing your cooking. Anyway, and the quality of the meat in Japan is, like, outrageous.
Yeah, it's really nuts.
So, anyway, it was, like, I think I'm going to have to wait until someday I go back to Japan again in order to truly have that level of yakiniku greatness.
Yeah, like, I know I've said this before, and, like, it's not a new observation, but, like, there are so many things in Japan that are done all the time that would be illegal in the U.S. because they're dangerous, and yet people in Japan live so long, it's actually a problem. So I don't know what the lesson there is, but I guess the lesson is, like, probably you should have a pile of burning coals at your dining room table.
Yeah, yeah, you'll be fine. You will be absolutely fine.
That is our promise to you.
So will your children.
In fact, your children will be fine. We're going to put it in writing.
Anyway, but today we're not talking about yakiniku. We're also not talking about grilling over charcoal.
Well, I think we are talking about yakiniku because I put a whole section of it on the agenda, but yeah, that's right. Okay.
Okay. But anyway, first let's start out talking about, wait, this is still our Korean barbecue.
It is still our Korean barbecue episode.
Okay. I have no Korean barbecue on my memory lane.
Okay. Memory lane, still closed.
Okay.
I have some Korean barbecue on my memory lane. So I don't know when the first time we went there was. There was a Korean restaurant in near downtown Seattle that is now closed. It was called Shilla.
Drive past it all the time.
Yes, on Denny in Seattle. And it's it closed a few years ago in some kind of really weird scandal, which I don't know. You can Google it. But my family used to go there. I think maybe even like definitely before we lived in Seattle. Like when I was a kid, like that was my first Korean barbecue experience. And like as a meat loving kid, this blew my mind that like they would bring you a platter of raw meat and you can cook it at your table.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still pretty great.
It is still pretty great. And what I think is interesting about it too is like the assumption that you will want to cook your own meat and that you will know how to do it is fascinating to me.
Yeah. Like,
because I was going to say, I think that there are not a lot of like traditionally like what we think of as,
wow. You're really like,
I'm trying to figure out how to say this in a way that is culturally sensitive. I was going to say there are not like in what we think of as like American food, mm-hmm. like be it like food from like the southern states, like slave populations bringing in amazing dishes, or like among other populations in the U.S., there are not a lot of like sit at the table and cook at the table things.
No,
are there?
It's sort of like, you know, backyard barbecuing is popular, but you don't usually like get a bunch of kids to like gather around the grill and grill their own burgers.
Indoors.
But, right. So that's sort of like what Korean barbecue is like.
Yes. I mean, I guess like if you've got one of the, do you remember on our raclette episode?
Yes.
Wait, did we do a raclette episode?
Not. Wait, fondue maybe.
Anyway, but where we asked people to send in a drawing of what they thought this raclette making device that I described would look like. Most of the drawings that came in looked like spiders.
Yeah, or an octopus, yeah.
Anyway, I feel like that's the French Korean barbecue.
Oh, raclette is the French Korean. Got
yes,
it.
Yes.
I was like, why did you even bring up raclette? But now I completely understand. You're right.
Yeah. No, you're cooking around this like central device at the table.
Well, and it's also
fondue.
Sort of like,
fondue
is like the Swiss hot pot.
It's okay. Okay,
right?
Great. Okay,
and
it's the Swiss hot pot.
Okay, so everything
let's relate everything back to a particular type of Asian cuisine.
Okay. So all right. So. What is American sushi?
I was about to ask.
So like,
okay.
I mean, but American sushi is a thing. But if like sushi did not exist in America, what would constitute American sushi? I think it's the Little Debbie Swiss roll.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Or, but it's like something where you put something on top of something else.
Yeah. Do you think that the rawness is key?
No.
Okay, because I was going to say in the States, like, we don't have a lot of, like, raw meat eating, do we?
No.
And I mean, among white Americans.
I think I've got it. I think the American sushi is an open-faced sandwich.
There you go.
Although
which is also a French tartine.
Yeah, I was going to say that's sort of like dangerously European.
It is dangerously European.
I have more memory
lane.
Hold on,
what about American ramen?
Oh.
Spaghetti and meatballs?
Chicken noodle soup?
Chicken noodle soup.
Yeah.
There you go, chicken noodle soup. Okay.
All right.
Anything else? Oh, wait a minute. I'm not done.
All right.
American sashimi.
Oh, okay. So that's...
It's American carpaccio.
I think American sashimi is Swedish fish, except maybe that's Swedish. Are Swedish fish actually Swedish? I think maybe they are.
Are you talking about the gummy or are you talking about like pickled herring?
No, I'm talking about the gummy.
What?
Well, you don't cook it.
Matthew, what are you doing? Okay, let's just get on with this episode.
I have more memory lane.
Okay,
so
keep going.
For many years now, I think if we do it this if they do it this year, which I hope and assume they will, this will be my 12th year, I think maybe. I've been a judge for the Korean American Coalition of King County Puget Sound area Korean barbecue contest.
Uh-huh.
And so like it's fantastic. It's usually held at Seward Park. The public can come. You buy a ticket. The judges are usually me and a couple of people who are qualified.
Okay.
No, it'll be like me and like a chef and someone like a local news anchor or journalist.
Do they have like actual Korean people judging this thing?
Yeah.
Okay,
sometimes.
Good. Okay.
I mean, usually at least one.
Okay.
So it's usually the Korean American Professionals Association versus like the Korean American Health Professionals versus the lawyers,
and they're not Korean. They're just the lawyers.
So the Korean American Bar Association.
They're there to litigate.
Yes, they're exactly like there's a lot of drama and intrigue and ballot stuffing. And no, it's great.
Oh God, it's like the 2016 election.
Yeah, it's the opposite of that. Like everyone is happy when it's over and full, and everyone gets along really well. Anyway, like this has been like one of my favorite things to do year after year, because everyone is super nice and I get a bunch of free meat and like get to give my opinion.
Are you judging like different cuts, like different categories?
It's is all there like the short rib, which is short ribs.
Ah,
so
okay.
Everyone, so it's really just how well you can like source, marinate, and grill your short ribs.
Cool.
Yeah.
Have there been repeat winners?
I mean, yes, because usually only three teams enter, and it's been going on for 11 years.
Oh, so, okay, wait, now I get it. Okay, so they're the lawyers, the medical professionals, and the something?
And the professionals, yeah.
Okay, do they wear t-shirts?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh my God, this is so cool.
It's great, yeah, you should come.
Okay, when does it happen?
In the fall.
Okay.
Usually like September or October, I think. I'll keep you posted.
Great. Okay, cool. So what is Korean barbecue? And is it actually like a dish in Korea? Like, do people do this in Korea? Or is this like a Western permutation?
No, people absolutely for sure do it in Korea.
Cool.
So Korean barbecue is meat, usually marinated pork or beef that is cooked by diners at the table. Like, you know, it's a wide enough category of food that all of these things are kind of negotiable. Like we had one thing today that was marinated and one not.
Mm-hmm.
And we could have gotten a cheap lunch special at the place that we went where they would have cooked the meat for us.
Mm-hmm.
Like getting to cook the meat yourself is a privilege that you pay for.
Well, we just paid for that, didn't we?
We did. And the marinade always includes soy sauce, sugar, and garlic, and usually includes sesame oil, pepper, and often a tenderizer such as grated Asian pear.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And like the most popular meats are bulgogi. It's going to be like a thin sliced tender cut of beef, galbi, which is short ribs, and dwaeji bulgogi, which is spicy pork belly.
And so what we had today was the galbi and the dwaeji bulgogi.
Yes.
Okay.
And they were both very tasty.
Yeah. Okay.
And it is always served with various banchan. We got like, I think, 8 little dishes of stuff to nibble on.
Mm-hmm. We had 2 different kinds of kimchi. There was a Napa cabbage and a cucumber kimchi.
Yeah. There was fish cakes. There was like a spicy pickled daikon and onion thing that was really good.
Mm-hmm. There was
This is a real you can't have any kind of episode.
It was so delicious. I'm very full right now.
Me too. Yeah. We brought meat home.
Did we ever?
Yeah. Bringing meat home.
Oh, God. Okay. So anyway, will you tell me the history of this stuff?
Okay. I didn't know anything about this, and most of what I learned is from an article that we'll link to in the Smithsonian Magazine about the history of bulgogi. So it has taken a long journey through time. So this is a quote from the article.
Like Marty McFly?
It's a lot like Marty McFly, yeah.
Although, did it involve a DeLorean?
Now that I think about it, like Marty McFly only covered, he went back to like 1885.
Oh, He went back to like 1960 or something,
1955,
right?
Yeah. Okay. That was his first journey in time.
So that was like 30 years back.
That was 30 years back. He went forward to 2015, but really he only covered a 130-year span, even though he had a time machine.
Seems like a real waste.
Like he didn't want to like pet a dinosaur or like.
I mean, he really should have read The Magic Treehouse because like first and foremost, they were like, we're going to go meet some knights. We're going to go meet some dinosaurs. Like they had their priorities straight.
You've read some Magic Treehouse?
A little bit. It hasn't really stuck for June.
Like the thing I remember about Magic Treehouse, and like, I guess I could like pick on the author of Magic Treehouse mildly since she's made millions of dollars writing Magic Treehouse books, right?
Yes.
Is that every time they like invoke the Magic Treehouse, like everything spins around and then the paragraph ends with, and everything was still perfectly still.
Oh, I've not noticed that.
It's in every book, I think, unless I'm confusing it with another series, which is possible. And every time I read that, I'm like, oh man, this author thinks she's like totally got her catchphrase. And I guess now that I think about it, it
she
worked because I remembered it and she sold 1 million copies.
Yep.
So I have nothing to criticize here.
Absolutely not. Anyway, so just like Jack and Annie.
Right.
Are those their
and
names?
Marty. They probably ran into each other.
Korean
sometimes.
Barbecue has traveled through time.
So according to the peer-reviewed Korea Journal, the dish's origins stretch back to the Goguryeo era, 37 BC. I put a real Japanese pronunciation on that. Apologies. 37 BC to 668 AD, the evolution of a kebab-like skewered meat preparation called makjeok. But that didn't really evolve into what we think of as bulgogi or Korean barbecue until around the turn of the 20th century. Korea had like more unimaginable, unfathomable ups and downs in the 20th century than most countries.
Yes.
I think
some of us have heard of those things.
And because beef is a luxury ingredient, the popularity of Korean barbecue waxed and waned along with the fortunes of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so now that Korea is a very prosperous, that South Korea is a very prosperous country, beef and Korean barbecue are very, very popular and have been so since like the late 80s, early 90s.
When do you think that it became a thing in Japan?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean,
would that have been as recent as like after the Korean War when there were
yes.
a lot of Korean people settling in, or in the midst of the Korean War when there were a lot of Korean people
settling
in Japan?
Yeah, and I think even after that. So like the middle class, like most families can go out and afford beef, life in Japan that we see now, like really, really dates back to the early 80s.
Okay. Wow, I didn't realize it was that recent.
Yeah, I mean, like, so the Japanese economic expansion started like in the 50s and lasted till like the early 90s. But like, you know, in the 50s, Japan was still very poor and rebuilding. At least in the
right.
early to mid 50s. And so like to get to the point where like, you know, most people have like disposable income to go out to eat, like still took some time after that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. With blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. Discover legendary taste with America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Back to
yes.
Korea. Okay. I have a question about bulgogi.
Yeah.
So, you know, you hear about it as a part of bibimbap.
Mm-hmm.
Is the word bulgogi, is that a reference to a particular cut of meat or like the marinade or the way of preparing the meat? Or is it...
So as I understand it, and this could definitely be wrong, bulgogi refers to a thinly sliced tender cut of beef that is marinated in a particular way.
Okay.
And,
all right.
And can then, is like, you know, typically grilled, but like, you know, you can certainly like cook it in a pan on the stove at home, which I do. And it's still bulgogi.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is great.
Yeah.
So then it could show up in different contexts.
Yeah. I remember like, I've got more memory lane. Like when I was in like middle school, maybe, a friend of mine had an exchange student from Korea. And like they had people over for homemade bulgogi. And I thought this was like one of the most delicious things I'd ever eaten. And I remember they had like this garbage pail, like full of marinating meat, like just this massive vessel. And I was like, this is awesome. Like, can we do this every night?
What I think is really interesting about the marinade for it is that it is, so it like hits all of these flavor points without being notably spicy, without being like notably sweet, without being anything like mild. It's very flavorful. Like, it's interesting because we think of, like, I think of Japanese cuisine as really not being very spicy.
True, for sure.
But then we have other, you know, other cuisines around Asia, not necessarily particularly close to Korea or Japan, but like, you know, Thailand, where you're getting all of these like fresh, like really spicy chilies and things like that. What I find so interesting about the marinade for Korean barbecue and so many of like other Korean flavors that I've gotten to try is that it's like this really flavorful, but not particularly spicy or sweet or salty or tangy.
It's really right? well balanced. And like balanced. I think Korean food does kind of have a reputation for being spicy, but it's not usually really that spicy. It's not like
some Sichuan food that I've had, like, that almost made me feel nauseated.
Right.
It was so spicy.
Yeah, because, yeah, we had the spicy pork today, and it was a little bit spicy, but it was, you know, everything was really well balanced.
Yeah.
And like I love how the marinade is designed to burn a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, this is something I always warn you about, like an American barbecue, like don't put the sauce on too early or it'll burn.
Right.
And like, you know, Korean barbecue is sliced thin and you want it to char a little bit.
It charred like right away, but it was perfect. It was really sweet. Yeah, it's very balanced.
Yeah.
So I can imagine why as a kid, even as a kid, like encountering those flavors for the first time in Portland, Oregon, it was very likable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it had meat and soy sauce and sugar and like green onions and sesame and like it was all the things I liked.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. So was there anything else you wanted to tell me about Korean barbecue?
We should talk about like what, like there's going to be like a list of meats and like what should you order?
Sure, because I found that challenging. I sort of deferred to you today.
Because I wanted to go pretty basic. So today we ordered two meats today, and it was the Kalbi unmarinated short ribs, because I wanted to just like see what the basic meat was like. And it came with dipping sauces, and then the spicy pork.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured like those two and like some sort of like bulgogi or more tender beef cut, like are the basic things to try.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised that there were any like unmarinated meats, but then I guess, you know, they brought this little dish that had three wells in it, and one had what kind of seems like the marinade mixture.
Yeah.
And one had like kind of a sweet chili sauce, mm-hmm. and one had sesame oil with salt and pepper.
Yeah.
And if you, like when I first took a bite of the kalbi that was not, that I had didn't dip in anything, it was fine.
Right, but it's, that one's designed to be dipped.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I'm just, I was surprised that they weren't all marinated.
I'm also designed to be dipped. I don't know what that means.
It's how you like to dance.
Yes.
You like to dance with a partner who's going to dip you.
Oh, I think I would love to be dipped.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, and why was I watching? You know what I used to watch had dancing like that was the Barbara Mandrell show.
I think I remember the name Barbara Mandrell.
I loved the Barbara Mandrell show. It was like a country music variety show.
I think I remember this, but anyway, yeah. But hold on, back to dipping. I think that you and Lori could work on this because Lori is, so she's taller than I am. She's what, like maybe 5'7"?
5'9".
5'9", okay. So you're what, maybe 5'10"?
Yeah.
Okay. I think you guys are well matched in terms of height here.
Okay.
Okay. I think that Lori would be able to manage your manly mass and get you down into a dip.
And once I was down there, could I just stay there if I liked where I got dipped?
Yeah. I mean, I think if you did a lot of stretching, probably.
Okay.
I think you might feel a little tight.
Hashtag goals.
Yeah.
Dip goals.
Dip goals. It's going to be a little tougher for me and Ash because Ash is like 3 inches shorter than me and very slight. So I think that I might have to be the dipper, but I love being dipped.
Could you have like June stand on Ash's shoulders and they wear a trench coat?
Yeah.
Next question. Who's Diplo?
Nice one. All right, go on.
Okay, so as you mentioned, we went to Japan recently, and we had some yakiniku, which is the Japanese version of Korean barbecue. And boy, did I spend a lot of time going down internet rabbit holes trying to figure out like what is really the difference, because There's really not much difference.
Wait, can we talk about the name of the first yakiniku place we went?
Oh, yes. I can't believe I didn't put this on the agenda. So this is not really the name of the place, but when I was first looking for a yakiniku restaurant to try in the neighborhood that I like to stay in Tokyo, I looked at the English language Google Maps, and right up at the top of the list, a place called Roast Family. And I'm like, okay, I don't care. I don't care what the reviews are like. We are going to Roast Family, and we are going to be a Roast Family. And it turned out to be like my favorite yakiniku place.
It
the actual
delightful.
Name is Yakiniku Kazoku, which is like roasted meat family restaurant.
Okay. I need you to write it down for me. Or maybe, okay. Maybe you can.
It's ROASTFAMILY.
Thanks. Thank you. Anyway.
So wait, I need you to write this down for you so that next time you're in the neighborhood, you...
Well, I've got a couple of friends who are going to Tokyo soon,
okay,
and
yeah,
I
yeah.
wanted to send them to Roast
yeah.
Family, but
it's
not
really
actually
is.
Called Roast Family.
It's not
Family.
Actually called that. I will be happy to send it to you. I'll post a link, spilledmilkpodcast.com. It's a great restaurant.
It's great. On a kind of perfect but slightly painful note, June burned her finger there.
Oh.
And so then we actually were a Roast Family.
Yeah.
Like, we roasted our kid.
That's great.
Yeah.
Is she okay?
Oh, she was fine
yeah.
like 10 minutes later.
No, I think like that's, I think... I was going to come up with some like parenting reason why it's good that your kid burned her finger.
She was so excited about cooking,
yeah.
though. She was like into it. And what I loved about it is they gave each of us a set of like meat tweezers. Whereas today at the Korean barbecue place we went to in Seattle,
yes.
they just handed the tongs to Matthew.
They thought I looked like the dipper and
like,
you looked like the dippy.
And I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
We had a young female server. I was irritated.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, then I said, would you like the tongs? And you said no.
I was pissed. I'd rather be right than happy, Matthew.
One thing that that you always can do at a yakiniku place in Japan that I have not really seen at Korean barbecue in the U.S., but I'm guessing might be part of the Korean barbecue experience in Korea, is that for any given cut of meat, you can order it in like two or three different grades. So like the regular
so cool.
or like the top grade or the ultra premium grade. And like they're not necessarily better as you go up. They're just more marbled with fat.
Yeah.
But they're all good.
And also, if your great gets too...
I am great.
If your great gets too gummy and like, you know, mucked up by all the beef gunk,
yes.
they will bring you a new great.
Yes. And like if your charcoal burns down and like you want to keep cooking, they'll like bring you a new bucket of charcoal if necessary.
I was amazed by the amount that people ordered and grilled.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was fascinating to me. Even the amount that they brought us today in Seattle at, was it called Palmy?
Mm-hmm.
It was a shocking amount of food.
Yes. Oh, I brought home plenty of leftovers.
Yeah, it was enough food for four people, and that was just like the normal serving size.
Yes. So, I don't know. Anything else? I feel like there
well,
may be things
on.
We're neglecting.
We should talk about doing it at home. Have you
yeah.
ever made it at home?
Oh, one other thing I want to say about yakiniku, which again, I don't know like to what extent this is part of the Korean barbecue experience in Korea. I assume much more so than in the U.S. is that offal is a big part of what people go to yakiniku restaurants for
mm-hmm.
in Japan. Like it's not a taste that I've acquired, but like if you want to grill like various organs, like That is where you go to do it, and there are a lot of people who really love that.
And what would be the typical organs on a menu?
Oh gosh, so definitely like intestines,
mm-hmm.
liver. There was stuff I didn't even know was an organ.
Wow. Okay. Okay, but hold on.
Like, you know, something that would be translated in English is like, you know, like the soft stomach or something.
Oh, cool. Okay. Interesting. The intestine, would that just look like kind of a flabby sausage?
Well, I had the intestine stew at the temple on New Year's Day.
Oh, that's
remember?
True.
And it looked, I mean, it's like a flappy
sausage casing.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was
okay.
very good.
Nice. Okay, hold on though. Have you made this at home? Have you like marinated meat
yes.
and like, how did you cook it at home?
Just in a skillet.
Okay.
So it's not the same as grilled, but it's you know, marinated meat cooked in a skillet, so it's still great.
Okay. And could you point us toward a recipe?
Yeah, definitely. There's a bulgogi recipe in my book, Hungry Monkey, so you should all go out and pay full price for that book. Nah, just kidding.
But we should. We all should.
I mean, not that book, maybe.
Oh, I think that book is great.
Oh, thank you.
And I actually keep it, so Matthew, as you may recall from other episodes.
That's right. There's one book that you keep
certain select under your pillow. Cookbooks on a specific shelf because they're the cookbooks I reach for the most often. And Hungry Monkey is there.
Oh, then I think you've got my bulgogi recipe.
I do.
But for the listeners, I will make sure we post it at spilledmilkpodcast.com. We like redid our website and the episodes don't actually live there anymore. But if you click the episodes link, it will take you to the place where the episodes live and it will be in the show notes for the episode.
And you can go visit the episodes where they live.
That's right. We sent our episodes to a farm upstate where they can like frolic with episodes of other podcasts. Like
they're grass fed.
Yeah, exactly. Like our Little Debbie episode made friends with a recent Planet Money episode.
But definitely not with a Sporkful episode. No, Dan Pashman, our episodes are not mingling with yours.
Dan Pashman hosted the most recent episode of Planet Money. It was great. It was about like how restaurant design and like where you put this table and you know, that sort of thing affects like how much the restaurant makes. It's great.
I love Dan Pashman, and I
know
envy
we're so
him.
Jealous. He's so much better at this
he's
than
so
we are,
good
and more
at
and
what
more
he
successful.
Does. Okay.
And you know, I think it's because he puts in more effort.
I wonder if it's possibly because it's his full time job.
Yeah. All right. So Korean barbecue.
We can do everything Dan Pashman could do if we just did it 40 hours a week, Matthew.
I don't think so. Like, you know, he talks to actual people and like about important things.
I'm not an actual person. Well, I mean, finally letting the listeners know.
I was going to say, we're actual people to each other.
So, okay.
I don't know what I meant.
Okay. All right. Well, as always, we are grateful to producer Abby for putting up with us, for producing this show. Thank you, Abby Circatella.
Yep. Abby, you're an actual person in our world.
You can find us wherever you already found us.
You can find us at that farm where we're mingling with our favorite podcast episodes.
You can find us on Apple Podcast, Google Play Podcast.
We try every week. Every week we try and remember a list of podcasting platforms for no reason.
First
of all, like if you were going to review the show, you probably already have. The show is over 10 years old. Secondly, you already have a podcasting platform that you like. You know, we're not going to say Stitcher and you're suddenly going to download Stitcher and be like, you know, wow, this is completely different from the thing I was using before. Although our show is part of the Stitcher family. So it's not like I was picking on Stitcher. So
hold on. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast, where we want you to tell us about, I don't know, like what podcast episodes do you want to run around in a field with?
Yeah, that's a good question. And we love Facebook. We have no criticisms of that company whatsoever.
Absolutely not. Oh, no. I love having my privacy violated and violated again.
And if you want to violate our privacy, why don't you check us out on Instagram at Spilled Milk Podcast, a place where we often say we'll post things and then usually we never do.
Okay. Oh my God, we're really going for it today.
Maybe we need to. We have our annual retreat coming up. I think there are some things we really need to talk about. Whether we should do them better.
All right, fine. Okay, everybody, thanks for listening to Spilled Milk Podcast, the show where we. Oh, whoops! We already did that part.
were you going to just say again that we're upstate mingling?
No, I was going to say we cook something delicious.
Oh no, we're caught in one of those infinite time loops. I knew this was going to happen. Where we're just going to keep doing the same episode.
Oh my God,
this is our Groundhog Day episode.
Marty
McFly. Is he on a time loop? Like, where would you go if you had a time machine? Like, you thought this episode was over, but I'm not going to, no. Like,
you know, I'm tempted to say that, like, there are historic historical periods that mm-hmm. I would be really interested in visiting. But I honestly think probably all of them were so like disease ridden yeah. and painful that like, I mean, like I would love to have seen like ancient Egypt, I would love to have seen those tombs before they were raided.
and possibly meet Lara Croft. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
No, but seriously, there was so much like pestilence and
oh, yeah, for sure.
I think that I don't know where I would want to go.
Yeah, you'd show up, you'd be like, wait, why am I getting mummified?
Yeah.
This is my real answer. Like, obviously, this is the thing that would change every time. I've really been giving into like being a middle-aged dude and just like accepting that that's who I am and that's the kind of stuff I'm into. So I think I'm going to go back to like 1976 and go to a Led Zeppelin concert.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
why
man,
not?
Cool.
I mean, it would definitely be a good time.
God, why didn't I think of that?
And, like whatever drug was like the drug of the time, I would try it.
God, do you know what I think I might want to do? This kind of surprises me because I'm not that huge of like a Bruce Springsteen fan. Uh-huh. I've seen Bruce Springsteen live. But like what I think it could be really amazing to go back to like 1978,
yeah,
which is the year I was born, and see Bruce Springsteen in like a small club in Atlantic City. Like when he was like young and even more chiseled than he is now, and just like humming with life, that man. I mean, he still is, but like,
yeah, he still hums a lot.
But like, no, but I mean, seriously, like, have you ever watched I've talked about it before on the show.
No, because I can't stand Bruce Springsteen, but I know you love him and I respect that. 1978
video of him singing Thunder Road in a club in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And he just, you can tell that he's on the verge of something.
Yeah.
And it's really powerful.
Springsteen's on the verge of a nervous breakout.
Nervous breakout. Nice
one. Because like he's going to break. Never mind.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Okay. Well,
yeah, but
anyway.
It wouldn't be disappointing. Like if you could use your time machine that way, like it would be a guaranteed good time, right? And that's what it's all about.
Wait, okay. Yeah. Okay. And then I could come back whenever I wanted.
Yes. Would you visit yourself as a baby?
No.
And possibly cause a time paradox?
No. No. I don't think so.
Yeah. All right. Okay. See you next time.
All right. Bye.
I'm Matthew. No, you should start it.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar for the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.